Okay. Well, this is the first time I've ever shared a stage with a lion. I have shared a stage with the Lion of Judah, and that's what I'm thinking he is. Because we're going to be talking about the presence of Jesus. So if we can kind of imagine it, it'd be great. Now, I don't know about you, but I belong to a book club, and sometimes the books that we read, I'm not always quite sure about. But I don't know if you're one of these people who will look at the end of the book before you. Is there anybody who tends to look at the last... look at the last page before they start the book, you know, because sometimes it's so tense, you've got to know that it's going to be okay, and then you can keep going, keep ploughing through. Well, we're going to do something of that this morning. We're going to look at the end thoughts before we begin. Quite often, we think about the takeaways at the end or the reflection points to take home with us. Well, I'm going to give them to you to begin with so that they're with you all the way through. And so we're going to look at the black page, first of all. We have got it. I just couldn't see it there. That's okay. Yeah. So from the story of the woman, the challenge is this. What healing do you need from Jesus? Now, he stepped into her story, and he wants to step into your story as well. So what kind of healing do you need? Is it emotional? Actually, in your prayer, Trisha, this morning, you mentioned lots of things that people might be going through. Is it emotional? Are there hurts or disappointments? Is there anxiety, other emotions like sadness or even anger? Or is it healing of the mind, your memories, painful memories, or negative attitudes that we might have, discouraging beliefs, or even low self-esteem? Do you need a healing from any of those things? What about the story of Jairus' daughter? What needs bringing to life in your world? We had the word resurrection in one of the songs this morning, resurrecting something. Is there anything that needs resurrecting? Have you put something on the back burner, or has something been squashed in your life that needs bringing to life? Is there an idea that may be brewing in you, but you're afraid to try it out? Do you feel that God is encouraging you to step out in something new, but you believe that you might not be up to it? Right now, right where we are, how are we doing? What's going on in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds? And how do we feel about life in general? Whatever we think or experience, Jesus wants to be right there with us. Here he is. If we've invited him into our lives, here he is. What do we hope for in our meeting with Jesus today? Do you want to feel more secure? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to know how much you are loved and seen and known? To be filled with joy or hope, perhaps to be healed, restored or renewed. Now, Jesus said that he came to give us an abundant life, life in all its fullness, to set us free and live eternally with him. He also said that in this life we will have trouble, but take heart because he has overcome the world. Do we live like overcomers? Another word that we mentioned or have sang this morning, to overcome. You know, our relationship with him is important to us, but it's important to him as well. And he asks us to trust him, to have faith, to depend on him, and to know him. And it's a two-way relationship, isn't it? He stepped into a broken, impure world with who he is, and he steps into my world and your world with who he is too. And he meets us right where we're at. We don't have to clean up our act because he does that for us, in us. He brings hope, he brings security, and he brings what we need. So let's just pray that is where our minds and hearts will be going this morning. So, Lord, if we need healing, will you heal us? If we have those emotions, those anxieties, whatever it is, the memories, if we bring them to you, will you step into that? Lord, if we have a desire to do something, or if there's something that we've pushed down because we don't think we're ready, or are you saying, bring it to life with your power, with your authority? As we've heard this morning with the glove illustration, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and gives us the ability. We need to know that you've called us. We need to know. And I pray, Lord, if there's a word that you want to share this morning with any one of us, whether it be healing or resurrecting something, then make it obvious to us, we pray in Jesus' name. So, let's look at the story then. He brings hope. Now, as Tim said, Jesus had just come from the other side of the lake. He'd gone over there. He'd healed a demon-possessed man. The point was also that the townspeople didn't like what he did, basically, and told him to go. So he was ushered off there. So he came back to the other side. As soon as he came back, he stepped into a massive crowd. Now, we guess that probably this crowd were hoping that they were going to see something amazing, like a miracle or something that Jesus would do. Because he creates an atmosphere of expectation, doesn't he? Jesus creates an atmosphere of hope and faith. And Jesus loved people. And it was his goal to show those people how much God loved them too. He had time for them. He had compassion for them. He had energy and focus. And this story, I think, shows just how much. Now, Jairus, as you know, was a leader of a synagogue, and he would have been quite well known enough to have his name mentioned in this gospel. The crowd would have probably parted to let him go through, and then he did something unexpected. He fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him to come with him to his home where his daughter was dying. He humbled himself. He had no thought of his position and standing in the community. He was desperate. And there are two things that I thought of that would have probably pushed him to come to Jesus. One is hope motivated him. And the other is love motivated him. His desire for his daughter's life. But I wonder what he might have had to overcome to put himself in that position. Pride in his role, maybe? Fear of what people might think? He was a leader. He was a man of authority. And here he was, who made himself humble in front of a man who others in his position either hated or were suspicious of. And here was a man who took his role as head of his household seriously. He demonstrated good leadership with that heart of love and passion for his family. And I would say, good on you, Jairus. What a man, eh? And Jesus also demonstrated a heart of love and passion for his family. And in this man, I wonder if he would have seen something of the cost that he was prepared to pay in order to come and fall at Jesus' feet on behalf of his daughter. It was very public and it was very visible. So what is Jesus bringing here? Where is our hope? Do we believe Jesus cares about what's going on in our lives? Do we thirst and long for the presence of God? There's that lovely couple of verses, isn't there, in Psalm 42, where it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Well, we can meet with him anytime, anywhere, and he certainly wants to meet with us. Jesus' presence makes a change. It changes things, and it changes things, change things for these people, and it can change things for us. Look at his beautiful character. He lived in a place of complete trust in his Father. And he was always at ease within himself. He was unhurried. And this is a picture of an unhurried Jesus here, isn't there? I was listening to somebody the other day who shared a quote from a guy called Dallas Willard, who was an American philosopher and theologian. He's very quotable. Lots of people have quoted from him, but he was asked on one occasion, how would you describe Jesus in one word? And he thought for a minute and he said, relaxed. Jesus was relaxed because he knew who he was. He knew what he was called to do, and he did it with such grace and love. And he had this beautiful authority which he showed here. He also had full confidence in the power within him to help Jairus in this situation. He wasn't fazed by this request, and he isn't fazed by anything you ask him to do either. We can bring to him anything. This is how he is with us. He's not fazed. He's like this with us, all of these things that we can see here. Now, Jairus had hope in Jesus, possibly because of what he might have seen or heard or witnessed. We don't know, but he acted on that hope. Do we? Is my question to myself. I spent a lot of time thinking about how this story impacted myself, and it was quite interesting what came up, I must admit. But the woman in the crowd had hope too. Now, here was a woman who had tried everything to get well. Her illness would have created a situation where she would have been an outcast from her community. She'd spent everything because I guess she would have really wanted to be included. She would have been isolated, alone, desperate to become part of that community again. Now, the difference here is, obviously, Jairus fell in front of Jesus. Everybody could see it. But she came up behind him. She reached out and touched his cloak. She didn't want to be obvious, but again, she was trusting that he would help. Now, even though Jesus was on an important mission, he stopped and insisted on knowing who touched him. Of course, we know that he probably knew who did it, but he was going to be making a point here. He felt the power go out of him. Now, I guess the crowd might well have parted again, but it would have been because she was untouchable. Now, why did Jesus insist on her revealing who she was? Because her healing was crucial to her being accepted in the crowd or in the community. It needed to be public. Now, you see, Jesus wasn't shaming her, because we might think that, oh, what would I feel like if that was me? He wasn't shaming her, he was releasing her. He gave her back the security of being part of life again. Jesus affirmed her faith and called her daughter. So her healing was physical, it was emotional, it was relational, it was social, and he had time for her. He didn't ignore her need. He met it, he focused on her, and he helped her. She was known by Jesus, and important to him too, even though she came up behind him. Now, she may have come from a place of insecurity, but she left as a secure daughter of the King. It's a great story, isn't it? Going back to my illustration with reading a book, the ending of these two stories is brilliant, isn't it? So, you know, it's a good, satisfying ending. But what about us? Jesus listens to us too, and he knows us. He isn't so focused on what we might think are the really important things of life that he forgets or ignores our hearts. He has time for us too. Each of us has equal value to him. When we stand in the place of being, when we stand in a place of being a daughter or a son of God, we stand on a foundation of security. Knowing we're loved, knowing we're cherished, is a foundation of our faith. It's crucial to know this. Jesus brings such an incredible security in our relationship with him. In fact, he is secure. You could write that as a title over him. He is secure. And he wants us to be free, to be who we are in him. He also brings what we need. Now, the woman might not have known it, and certainly she didn't seek it, but she needed public affirmation, didn't she? Jairus and his family, on the other hand, they needed peace, a quiet, and privacy. Now, we know that whilst Jesus spent time healing the woman, Jairus' daughter had died, according to the messengers. And Jesus turned to him and he said, "Don't be afraid." We might guess from that, if Jesus said that, that there was a fear rising up in Jairus. Now, fear is something that can stop us from receiving all that God has for us. But Jesus understood Jairus. He understands. And he understood that he was afraid. And he understands that in us too. But it didn't stop him from going with Jairus, did it? And our fear doesn't stop him from coming into our lives and taking us through either. Sometimes we think our fearfulness or our anxiety can stop Jesus from working. But he will work in us to take us through. It can stop certain things. But we need to understand that Jesus wants to work with us. And then he did something quite wonderful. He stopped the crowd, the spectators. This was going to be a private work of power and authority. Now, we live in a world, don't we, where people want to see and know everything. They take pictures on their phones and it goes public, and there are things that are shared out there that should never be shared. This crowd wanted to be involved in everything Jesus was doing, but Jairus and his family needed something else. They needed peace. And Jesus had the authority to make that happen. You see, Jesus is sensitive to and knows our needs as well. This was grace and wisdom in action. As a leader, Jesus understood what to do and how to do it. Now, this crowd, as we know, were very noisy. The ones that were at the house, the noisy mourners, they'd have brought a variety of emotions with them. Curiosity, doubt, and a lot of noise. Jesus wanted peace. He wanted faith. And he wanted love to be the powerful things that were in that room. Actually, in Reflections, we looked briefly at this story, and the person who wrote the book that we're looking at said this: resurrection power and doubt cannot live in the same room. Jesus was about to perform an incredible miracle here of a resurrection, raising this child back to life. He didn't need a crowd of people who were noisy, full of doubt. The two things couldn't go together. So Jesus told them to leave and then did the miracle. Then he told them not to let people know what he did. Was that because you know what it's like when the jungle drums start going? Things are passed around. It could have been blown up all out of proportion. There could have been not quite truths that were being spread. possibly Jesus didn't want his fame to go further than it was already happening because of all the crowds. But I wondered if it was partly because he was protecting the family, protecting them from further curiosity that could haunt them and their daughter, creating the wrong kind of damaging fame. See, Jesus is kind and he's wise. He's understanding and he knows what is needed. And we look at the character of Jesus in these various incidents, these stories and other stories. Just look at how amazing he is, how thoughtful, how generous, how very on point he is with each person that he meets. What a joy. And so, although the nations brought about two incredible miracles, they reveal so much more and challenge our faith, our belief, our expectation, and our relationship with Jesus. Now, the truth is, we don't always experience healing, and that probably every single person in this room knows that. We don't always get what we're hoping for, what we want in terms of healing. But we always get the presence of Jesus. He always comes. We can expect that. His presence in our lives needs to be based on honesty, trust, humility, faith, hope, security. Now, Jairus and that woman opened their hearts to the possibility of what Jesus could do. He wanted to do something for them, but he wanted to do something in them. And he wants to continually do something in us as well. Sometimes that happens in a community situation like this, or perhaps somewhere like Spring Harvest, where you've got lots of, you know, hype, crowd dynamics, expectation and hope. And sometimes it can be in a place of stillness, of quiet, perhaps with one or two other people. Now, we started by saying we come with where we are and who we are, and his presence brings peace and freedom. So where do you need peace and freedom in your life right now? Here is the ending bit again. Are you bound by negative thinking or past experiences? That woman was bound by her illness. Do you have no peace about a situation or anxiety? Love, Jesus' love, conquers and heals. The woman didn't live abundantly until Jesus freed her. He wants us to live abundantly too. So reach out and touch him because he sees you. Is there something in your heart that needs resurrecting, bringing to life, a new beginning, a dream? Jesus' power can release us into all that he has called us to be and do. Invite him into the home of your heart as Jairus invited him into his home, and let him release you and restore your spirit and work in power. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Where do you need the fullness of life right now, in your present circumstances? I want us to consider this, to think about it. So let's pray together. And I'm going to be brave and ask that if you would like prayer for something that has come to your mind, There will be some of us at the front who will be very, very happy to pray with you. We're also going to be singing what I think is an amazing song. I love this song about who Jesus is. He's a waymaker, promise keeper. And he's our light in the darkness. He's a miracle worker. That's who he is. But we also are going to be singing, "You are here." He's moving in our midst. He's working in this place. Do we expect that? Do we have hope for that? Is that something that we really want? Have we got that hunger and thirst to go deeper with Jesus, to have him have a greater place in our lives? He's touching every heart, we're going to sing. He's healing every heart. He's turning lives around. Do you want your life to be turned around? Mending every heart. Does it need mending? Shall we stand as we pray?